So everybody got that gospel text all figured out, right? No need for a sermon to stand here and talk about this whole eating and drinking Jesus thing, right? We've got it all figured out. But I wonder, because the crowd that was gathering, the disciples as they're called in John's gospel, this large crowd of people, had given up so much to follow Jesus. They had waited, they wondered, they worried, they watched, and they started growing tired. As Jesus has been teaching in all of chapter 6, which we have been in for, I think, 5 or 6 weeks now, talking about the bread of life and what that has to do with us and those disciples at that time. And then they get to today and get even more confused and wonder what's going on. And could it possibly be that this Jesus that they were attracted to is not exactly what they had expected? So they were exasperated and ready to go. And who can blame them? Jesus then sees his disciples, those 12, and I can just imagine them saying, "Jesus, you're losing them. I mean, you had them, but now you start talking about eating and drinking your flesh and your blood, and so you are totally making them want to run away, right? Don't you just want to run when you don't understand a message?" And what do you think of when you hear those words, eat and drink flesh and blood? Besides vampire. Some of us might go to communion when we think of the bread and wine, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, and we might jump straight there thousands of years later. But when you think of the crowd at the time, that crowd there had no communion. There was no institute. In John's gospel, there is not even a story of the Last Supper, that first institute of communion. So there was no context for these people to understand this eating of the flesh and drinking of the blood. So no wonder they're confused and they're ready to go. Because is Jesus literally talking about eating and drinking? One of the translations of the Bible says, "I just can't stomach that." Yeah. Thank you, Jackie, for catching that. Thought it was fantastic of that author, that writer. Because can we really stomach what that means? I don't think Jesus is saying literally do this. But maybe he's saying once you have seen and experienced Jesus, there's no way that you can sit on the sidelines anymore and be an observer. You have to participate in this life. You have to grow in your faith. And so what does that look like? As Jesus is challenging this crowd, he's challenging some Jews in the synagogue, John's gospel makes that point to say. And so Jesus knows that these Jews believed in God, that these Jews practiced their faith, and now he's taking them a step further to say that faith is fulfilled in the person standing before you. Are you nuts? I mean, really, what does that look like? What does that mean? People cannot understand what's happening, and so they leave, confused, wondering what to do. So Jesus takes advantage of those 12, those that have stayed in this inner circle, and challenges them to think more deeply, to grow more deeply. Challenges them to think about the decisions that they're making and make a decision for God, Jesus, to share that love, to be that love. So Peter jumps up right away and says, "I got this. I get the gospel message. I'm going to follow it. Lord, to whom shall we go? Where am I going to go? What people do we need to go to?" Peter, even in the midst of his own doubt and fear, stood there and proclaimed that gospel message. So maybe that's our challenge here. To us, to those of us who already consider ourselves to be disciples, to be followers of Christ, to be Christians, maybe that's our challenge from today's reading, to go deeper, to grow in our faith. Maybe Jesus is saying, "You have come this far, now I want you to come a little further." Maybe he's saying, "You have committed this much, now I want you to commit a little more." Maybe he's saying, "You have loved these people. Now I want you to open your arms and love these people as well. Maybe he's saying, you have had compassion for this one hurting person, and now I want you to have compassion for these hurting people and for people around the world that are hurting. Grow. Grow. Grow in your faith. Jesus is continually trying to remold us into the likeness of God, a God whose life is all about loving and serving others. You and me. So what does that look like to grow in our faith? What does that mean to grow deeper into this word of John's gospel? John's gospel is all about abiding, remaining in God's love. And when you abide in God's love, you come to know the truth. And that truth is who Jesus is. And that truth will set you free, John's gospel says. So we hear that again in our summer series of relationship hinge points. You might have received a card this morning. Today's topic is, I love people and enjoy helping them, from Galatians chapter 5, where Paul writes, my brothers and sisters, God chose you to be free. But don't use your freedom as an excuse to do whatever pleases your sinful selves. Instead, serve each other with love. I love people and enjoy helping them. That's the relationship hinge point that we want to think about today. As Paul writes to these people talking about freedom and saying that freedom is given to us in Christ Jesus. And that freedom, we are no longer slaves to the law, but we are slaves to other people. How do you like that? You are a slave to loving and serving other people. Loving God and loving your neighbor. So we have this freedom that we live in to grow deeper. What does that look like to love people and enjoy helping them? I was talking to a dear friend of mine a couple weeks ago and talking about this topic. And I said, the topic is, I love people and enjoy helping them. And I said, I really do. And he said, really? He knows a lot about the people that I have disagreements with in all aspects of my life. And he says, even so-and-so? And I went, yes. Yes. Maybe that's our challenge, to go deeper. So that one person or that group of people or that situation that is just not going the way you had dreamed or the way you had hoped. So how might you go deeper into that relationship and love that person, that situation, and serve them in that freedom? What does that look like to go deeper into our faith? Last weekend, I got to have a little R&R time away at a B&B in Tyler, Texas. Beautiful place to go. There was a winery and distillery and all these great things happening on the property. And I got to stay in a space where there was this big gathering area in the kitchen. And it happened to be that everybody else in the stable house that stayed with me were all parents that were getting ready to send their kids back to school. So this was their last hurrah before all of that happened. And they were very, very excited that the kids were leaving the house because they'd been home too long over the summer. There was a lot of that conversation. And one mom was very concerned because she was sending her younger son to school in the classroom that her older son was also in with the same teacher. And there was a lot of contentiousness between the family and that teacher 3 years ago with their older boy. So she was going on and on and on about how horrible this year was going to be and that there was just nothing anybody would do to solve this problem. The administrators were not following through. I mean, it just went over wine, you know, stories go on for a long time. And the story just went on and on, and she got more and more upset, and all these other moms and dads around the room were just joining right in. And there was about three of us that said, okay, wait, we have a choice. You have a choice. You can go up to that school, to that teacher, and say, you know, we've been in this before, but I want you to know this son is different than this son. Or maybe you need to go to that teacher and say, okay, what are your expectations for our family this year? How can you approach that teacher and have a new conversation, a new life beginning this year? Because she may have stuff she wants to process with you as well. Now, here is a complete stranger sharing wine with people. They have no idea who I am, and she's going, yeah, whatever. I don't know how they're going to walk away and if that's going to change this week, but you have a choice. We have decisions to make when we're building relationships, when we're deciding to go deeper in loving people and serving them. So what does that look like in your life to go deeper and grow in your faith? As you go back to school, kids, what is that going to look like for you when you go into that classroom? What is that going to look like for all of us? Maybe we need to take some time and go deeper into Scripture and maybe understand more what God is telling us through these faithful stories. Maybe it's an opportunity, as you can see in the bulletin, all these education opportunities for you to become a part of in this congregation. Or maybe it's you need to go deeper in your service life. Maybe there's somebody or an organization that you want to partner with to grow in your faith. Or maybe you take the opportunity to step out and go deeper with social statements of the ELCA, that class that's coming up. Maybe you want to hear more about abortion or death penalty or racism and our role in racism. Maybe you want to go deeper there and challenge yourself. What does it look like to grow in your faith? Now, I am going to ask you today to make a commitment. At the end of your pews, there are a stack of post-it notes. If you would take one and pass it down. And if you have a pen, if not, we have a bunch of pencils in the back, and we have a few gentlemen that will help pass those out. Because you might have seen when you came in, there is, on our conference room window, we wrote the words, I will. Your post-it note is going to fill in that blank. This is the commitment that you want to make to go deeper this year in your faith. It's your commitment, your decision. What do you want your life to look like this year, this week? Fill in that blank, and I do encourage you after worship, you can see a couple other services have participated. Post your notes up there. As people are coming in and out of this building this week, we will partner in prayer for you, with you, among you, because going deeper is not easy. But we can trust that the Lord will guide us in that process, that we will see the truth of God's love. So I will. What will that be?